Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3:16, which is where we always jump off. Say, why is that? Because the Holy Ghost said so. How many of you, your lives have changed because you've been reading John 16? Okay, well, the rest of you will get there. But it happens to be the central theme of the Bible. And I'm going to share it out of the Good News Bible, and then I'm going to share John 13, verse 34 and 35 out of the Voice translation. Right, but John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior." And I always put a tag on that and let you know, God didn't send us here to have our own individual judgment seats that people have to stand before. He sent us here so that we can point them to Christ. John 13, 34 and 35 out of the Voice translation. "So I give you a new command. Love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways," plural, "remember the ways that I have loved you, and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others." It wasn't by accident that God told Pastor Sarah to name the name of this church is Redeeming Love Christian Center. Okay, we've been talking in a series called, you know, Renewing Your Mind. And this is lesson 9 in the series. And it's titled, "Yes, comma, You Can," exclamation point. Okay. Everybody say, yes,
yes.
You can.
You can.
Say, yes,
yes.
I can. Okay. Just to get to that place, and then there's a video that I want to show you. And, well, I'll talk about that when I get to it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's the basic foundational scripture. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." One translation says that any man in Christ is a new person altogether. Another translation says, "If any man is in Christ, he lives in a new world." I like what it says in God's Word translation. It says, "The old way of living has disappeared. A new way has come into existence." So that means, because I am in Christ, nothing should ever cause foots to come back into existence. Now, those of you who don't know, that was my nickname before Christ. And, you know, yeah, they gave it to me because I have size 16 feet. But that was only part of it, because I had no problem stepping on you if that's what it called for. I mean, nothing should come up. You shouldn't see any of those character traits in me because I'm in Christ. You shouldn't. And if you do, something is wrong with me. Because I am a new creature, I am a new person altogether, I live in a totally new world, and that means, I share this, but there's some things he told me to repeat every lesson, since I am a new person altogether living in a new world, that means I am no longer subject to the principles of humanity. I operate based on a different set of guidelines and rules and standards called kingdom. Kingdom principles is what keeps me now. And I have to be mindful of that all the time. I'm not just human. We have to stop saying, "So after all, I'm only human." No, you're not. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The problem is, We don't think we are. That's the problem. But that's why God says that there has to be a renewing of our minds, because as we are in the process of renewing our minds, we're doing something else. We're changing the way we think. See, look at Proverbs. He's already fast-forwarded, and that's fine. Look in Proverbs 4, 23. And I'm going to share this out of the Good News Bible, because it says something, and I've shared it out of this translation before, but I read it last night and I got arrested by something. It says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." That scripture says, "Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts." And I said, wait a minute. No, I thought my life was shaped by the Word of God. No. Your life is shaped by what you think about the Word of God. The Word of God is true. If you don't think so, you're not going to experience anything it says. So your life, that's why it says, be careful how you think. You can think yourself right out of your healing. You can think yourself out of your prosperity. You can think too many people think themselves out of their marriage. Oh, they're never going to change. Why are you focusing on them? Maybe what you're seeing, it's part of the lyrics to a song Pastor Clinton wrote, "Your Reflection." Okay? Just maybe. I say, well, I'm just saying. But if you think about it, before we were in Christ, and immediately thereafter, we think the way we think now. I mean, at least for me, I'll talk about me. When I had some thoughts about whether or not God was real, I had some thoughts about the Bible being true, and I acted like it. I didn't think the Bible was true. Well, how could you do that? I watched Christians. I'm being serious. And the closest Christian I watched was Mommy. And I'm thinking, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes, many times, the Spirit she was filled with was Gallo cream sherry. Okay? No, but they would get together and talk, and I'd sit at the top of the steps and just listen to what they were saying. I didn't hear anything godly. And I said, well, this can't be true. This is just something that they use to try and keep us under control. That's what I thought. But that thought was based on some facts that I saw, but it wasn't based on truth. So I made choices based on that. I didn't think that, you know, my sinning was going to cause me to go to hell. If there's a heaven, everybody's going to go. After all, if God is as loving as everybody says he is, ain't no way he's going to let me go to hell and burn in a fire. I mean, I'd be better off if he just let me stay dead. I mean, I know what you're saying, that's nutty thinking. Well, I was nutty. But see, the scary part about it is that type of thinking among believers hasn't really changed. We don't share the same thoughts as to what it really means to be in Christ. There are some people, just as we shared before, They don't believe that they need to tithe on the growth. Don't believe they need to tithe. Some believe a whole number of different things. Well, it's based on the way you think. I believe, I could be wrong, you know, but I believe that if every single person had far more than enough to meet their needs and to meet needs of everyone in their household, they wouldn't have a problem tithing. Wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't even think about it. But you're looking at facts and making choices because we're not remembering, my God shall supply my every need. We don't think that every need means finances. And we act like it. So it's important for us to change the way we think. That's the bottom line. We have to change, as believers, we have to change the way we think about what God has said. That's why, let's go to Romans 12. In verse 1, he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. See, he didn't say don't be conformed. He said, I need you to conform, not to this world. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I always found it interesting that he said, be ye transformed and renew your mind. It says renewing your mind. ING means it's a continual action. So that means I will never get to the place where my mind is completely renewed. There are things that I need to do every single day as part of the mind renewal process. If not, my thinking will be askew. And I can't afford that, and neither can you. See, God knew. He knew that we would have to undergo a transformation. He knew it. And in his wisdom, he's telling us how to do it. Renew our minds. And he means renew our minds on the Word of God. Now, let me just share this with you. Look at Mark 6. Because I know I have a habit sometimes of not taking the time and showing you the scriptural reference. So I just want to show you this, where you will see that how you think can affect what you get and what you have. It says, and I'm in the Amplified Version, in the verse 1, it says, Jesus went away from there and came to his own country and hometown, Nazareth, and his disciples followed with him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who listened to him were utterly astonished, saying, where did this man acquire all this? What is the wisdom, the broad and full intelligence which has been given to him? What mighty works and exhibitions of power are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here among us? And they took offense at him and were hurt. That is, they disapproved of him, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority. And they were caused to stumble and fall. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, deference, reverence, except in his own country and among his relatives and in his own house. And listen to this. And he was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sickly people and cured them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. Now, I got to ask you something. When Jesus entered Nazareth, did he lose his anointing? On his way to Nazareth, you know, he encountered the woman with the issue of blood, and then he had to raise this girl from the dead. Did that zap him of all of his power? Did God say, you know what, you're in your hometown, so you don't need my authority and power anymore, so I'll just take it off you until I send you somewhere else? Did that happen? What happened? Because that means he had the same power and authority that he always had. But it was of no use in Nazareth. Why? Because of what the people thought. Not because the power wasn't there. It's what they thought about it. They thought, who is he that he can have these things? And they didn't receive. Is that me? I guess so. So we have to understand, folks, we will never be transformed unless we start and continue in the process of renewing our minds and changing the way we think about what God has said. It's not going to happen any other way. The Message Bible says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, drinking, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. What does that mean? Well, there's certain attitudes and things that I should have because I'm black and ancestors that I never met were in slavery. So there's an attitude that I should walk around with. No, I can't fit into that without even thinking. I mean, I thought about that even before I became in Christ. That didn't make sense to me. I said, let's see. They're upset with me because of their opinions about people of my color. And it's not everybody. And I think that that's wrong. So how am I going to handle it? I'm going to get upset and not like everybody that's not my color, even though it's not all of them. Okay. No, I can't tell you why I thought like that as a child, but I always did. It got me in trouble a lot of times, but I didn't care. If it didn't make sense, it didn't make sense. Just like it didn't make sense, can't eat apple pie for breakfast, but you can eat an apple turnover. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Okay. 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 But I'm going to show you, I want you to see this video clip. You know, those of you, if you're watching this by way of multimedia, you can go to YouTube and just Google, just do a search for Richie Parker, and then you can see this. So guys, show the clip, and then I'm going to come back. I left a message for his parents because there were a couple of questions that I wanted to have answered before today, but they haven't gotten back to me yet. But then I thought about it, and it really doesn't matter. Because whether or not he's a believer is not the point. Turn to Philippians 4. The Holy Ghost said to me, this is one of the scriptures that we abuse the most. Would you read verse 13 out loud, please? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, that's why I said whether or not Richie is a born-again believer or not is not the issue. Because if he's not, and he can do that, not being in Christ, how much more for those of us who are in Christ who have this promise from God that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? And if he is, then it's just a demonstration of what will happen if you would just believe what God said. So either way, it really doesn't matter. The People's New Testament, which is really a commentary, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can rise, listen to this, I can rise superior to every condition through the strength that Christ gives. Every condition. I need you to take a moment. Let's just take a moment and think about just one thing that God has told you to do that you have not done. Something that God has repeatedly reminded you and you haven't done it. And then we're going to be a little interactive. I want you to just jot down the reasons why you haven't done it. Go ahead, do that right now. Use your notepad, your iPad. Just take a moment and do that. After you've thought about what it is that God has repeatedly said to you, and you haven't done it, and you can write down the reasons why. We're going to get back to that a little later. Those of you that are watching or listening through multimedia, do the same thing. Because the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And we have to check the way we think about that statement. That God made. It's not something Pastor Greg said. This is what God said about his people. How many of you are his people? Most of you. Well, I don't know, maybe some of you are still writing things down so you didn't raise your hand. That's okay, I understand. Okay. Now we're going to break this scripture down. Or I like the term they've been using at the seminars I've been. We're going to unpack this this scripture. Okay. I can do. So I looked at the Strong's. See, I use the Strong's, I use Vines, I use dictionary.com, I use commentaries. Whatever I'm impressed to look at, that's what I do when I'm unpacking the scripture, so I can get the full meaning of what it's saying. But in the concordance, I can do is one phrase. And it means be strong. Be strong in body, be robust, be in sound health, have power. I can do. I have power. I have power shown by extraordinary deeds. So that's what I can do means. All things. What do you think that means? That's right. Each, every, the whole. Everything, all things, all types. And you say, whatever it is, I can do it. Whatever it is, I have the power to do it. Whatever it is, I wield the power to do it. Through Christ. We're going to spend a little time on this one. Through Christ, and it's okay. I'm telling you, there's going to be a point where you may want to get up and run, because I did. I'm telling you now, it's okay. Don't sit there and say, I feel like running. Run. Okay. All right. Through Christ, it means in Christ, by Christ, or with Christ. But we're going to go a little further in that one. Turn to Hebrews 13. I practically had it. I have one of those swivel chairs. And I just, next thing I knew, I was just like a top. I was just spinning around when this hit me. It was at 1:19 this morning. Let your character, read verse 5 and 6 in the Amplified Bible. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Listen to this. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. You didn't catch the tone of that statement. God was saying something to us, but he was also putting someone on notice. Okay? He said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. He said, I will not in any way. You need to think about that. In any way, I will not in any way fail you. I will not in any way give you up. I will not in any way leave you without support. So why can't I do it? It doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, you got to think about this. God doesn't care what's going on in the universe. No matter what's going on anywhere in the universe, you're his still number one priority. You got to think about that. Doesn't matter what's going on. The folk that there's unrest over in Egypt, you're still God's number one priority. He's not going to leave you to go take care of a situation over in Egypt. He will never leave you, never forsake you, never leave you without support. Never. Ever. And we're talking around, going around saying, I can't do this. What do you mean you can't do it? You have the creator of the universe backing you up. And you're saying, I can't do it? No, that's what you think. We're still talking about through Christ, but there's more to that scripture. He gets even more emphatic. I could see him like pounding his fist saying, I will not, I will not, I will not in any way, in any degree, in any degree. What is a degree? It's a measurement. Usually measures the width of an angle. For one, but I also found out in nautical terms, it's time. I didn't know that. It's time. It's minutes and seconds. God said, I will not in any degree. God is saying, I don't care how big it is. I don't care how small it is. I will not for even a nanosecond leave you. Not even for a nanosecond. I will not in any degree. Think about that. We're talking about God and what he's going to do on your behalf. He said, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless. Not for a nanosecond. No matter how big the thing is, there's no problem I think is so small you don't need my assistance. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree forsake you. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree let you down. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree relax my hold on you. then he puts his explanation point on. He says, assuredly not. Assuredly not. So why can't you do it? Why aren't you doing it? You have everything that you could possibly need. He was making in my office, I have these chatter teeth. You've seen them. I use them as props. Usually use them when we're talking about without love. Your mouth is just moving. There's no substance to you. And once I did a joke, someone was in my office. They were just going on and on and on. I just picked up the teeth and wound them up and put them down. But you're right. It was cold. But I introduced those teeth to Pearson, and he didn't like them. Well, he's two. He's used to seeing teeth inside your mouth. Okay. And he's certainly not used to seeing teeth going like this at you. And so he saw the teeth, and they were fine when I had them in my hand. When I put them down and started making that clacking noise, he took off. Okay. And so I didn't want to be afraid, so I put him in my office. Now, I wasn't here one Friday, and Pastor Ed went and got to Pearson. You want the teeth? He's like, no, but they brought him anyway. And as long as they held him in the hand, he was fine, and they put him in his hand. And as long as they held him, it's fine. But then the thing started chattering in his hand. He dropped the teeth, went like this, and took off running. Okay. Why am I telling you that? When God was saying, I will not in any way, followed by an extremely emphatic, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree, he was making a shake the gates of hell proclamation that caused the devil and all his imps to grab themselves and take off running. Because they said, this man ain't playing. He means exactly what he says, and we can't get in the way of this. See, we're familiar with the scripture where it says, you know, the devil roams as a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. And Friday, God said to me, how do you think he finds them? What makes him select someone? How does he know that you're eligible to be devoured? It's the way you think about what God said. Because the way you think is taking you away from where God is directing you. And it's leaving you out there alone. And guess what makes predators lick their chops? When they see prey alone. Alone. Parents, that's why you need to do everything that you need to do to make sure your children never feel like they're out there alone. You have to take on an attitude where you're going to do things that embrace them and not push them away, because there's an enemy walking around waiting for them to step out alone. We need to adopt the same philosophy as God. I will not, I will not, I will not in any way leave them helpless. Forsake them. Let them down. Relax our hold on them. Assuredly not. That's the attitude that I made sure people saw in me concerning our children. And guess what? Things that happen with some other children didn't happen to ours. How do you know that? They told me. My daughter said, I didn't go through the things that my girlfriends went through. Boys didn't try and look under my skirt as I was going up the steps. They didn't say anything inappropriate. Didn't try and put their hands where they shouldn't. And I said to her, why? She said, well, first of all, I didn't act like that was okay. She said, but mainly, they knew who I belonged to. And I said, Angel, what do you mean? She said, they saw our relationship. And they knew if they did something, I'd tell you and you'd do something about it. And then she said something that absolutely stunned me. She started naming her three or four close friends, said they didn't bother them either. I said, why didn't they bother them? Because they knew that they would tell me, I'd tell you, and you'd do something about it. I mean, well, God made a statement. He said, my people believe this, and I give them something to do, and you now, enemy, come in trying to tell them they can't do it, they're going to call on me, and I'm going to do something about this. So understanding that, the question would be then, why won't people call on God and get what he has so you can do what he wants? Are you ready for the answer? You sure? Okay, you know how to take an inhale. You do the cleansing exhale. Okay, just squeeze, you know. Say, okay, I'm ready. Okay. Because you don't want to do it. That's why. You look at it and you put some facts on it. This too hard. This is going to hurt. I don't have the money. I don't know who's going to help me. I will not in any way leave you without support. Well, that wipes out one reason. I will not in any way fail you. I will not in any way give you up. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, forsake you. And we really forget this next one, let you down. So if he told you to do it, he's already made it possible for you to do it. Already. When the school closed, I told you, I was transferred from Love Christian Academy to the facilities department here at the ministry. My first assignment, convert the four classrooms in what we call Quadrant 4 into a banquet hall. Construction project. I've seen blueprints. I knew what they were called. I didn't know how to read them. I didn't know any. All I knew about construction was that they build things. But my orders from my pastors convert this area into a banquet hall. They didn't ask me if I knew how to do it. Didn't ask me. And I didn't go to them and say, you know, you need to give this to somebody else. I'm not led to do this. Because I don't have any construction. Why don't you just hire a contractor? No, my attitude was, my pastors hear from God. And they pray about things. So if they assigned me, it had to come up in their spirit, I'm the one to do it. God already knows what I know and what I don't know. So my attitude was, if God said, convert this to a banquet hall, guess what I'm going to do? Convert it to a banquet hall. And I found myself sitting in meetings with contractors using construction terms that I've never heard before. And they're looking at me. You know that? Yep. So you've done construction? Nope. First time. How do you know this? I said, well, it's something you need to understand. We are a Bible-believing church. God is going to tell me everything that I need to know, so you might as well be straight with me. Because if you're not, God will tell me. And there are things that came up that God told me. They did something, I went in there, and I heard myself say, this compromises the integrity of the structure. Don't do anything. I called the building department. They came right over. They came right over, favor. I will not in any way leave you without support. The building department came over. They looked at it and they said, you can't do this. This compromises the integrity of the structure. Where did it come from? I needed that knowledge to do the job I was given. So rather than think, I can't do this because I don't know, I thought, whatever I need to know, my Father's going to give it to me when I need it. And my wife will attest, that's how I live my life in this ministry to this day. I didn't pray about nothing that I was asked to do. I didn't. My attitude was, my leaders have said this is what they want me to do. My responsibility is to do it. Period. How are you going to get it done? My Father will not in any degree leave me helpless. In any degree. So look at your list as to why you haven't done what God said. And I need you to write something across whatever you wrote. I want you to write the word, this is bogus. Because my Father has fully equipped me to do it. That's what I want you to write. We're still not finished. We still have to go with which strengtheneth me. It says he endues with strength and then increases strength. First he endues, then as it's necessary, he'll give you more. See, I have the strength to push this. The enemy may come with something that may make this heavier. He's going to give me whatever. If my job is to move this from one place to the other, he's going to give me whatever additional strength I need to push it. And I'm not going to be, oh, this is so hard. Oh, no. He's going to give me whatever strength I need to just move it. Why? Because he said he will not in any way fail me. You know what that sounds like? I started laughing when I thought about it last night. I think we did it on Sunday. It sounds like that Gladys Knight song. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. That's what it sounds like. That's not a Gladys Knight. Who is Diana Ross? They tell them, I know. <What's that>? Okay. I just knew how to dance to it at the time. Okay. Okay. All right. But listen to this. In Acts 9, it's talking about Paul after his conversion. And it talks about how he was certain days with the disciples. And then after that, he just went out and started teaching. Never taught Christ before. As a matter of fact, he was Antichrist before that. And it says, all who heard him were amazed. But verse 22 said, but Saul increased the more in strength. Why? Because he needed to. Because of his next assignment. He needed more strength. And it's he increased in strength. You will increase in strength if you think that God will do it. Because it's what he said. Now, if you don't think he will, He won't. So let's put this together. This is how I'm reading this. Instead of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I wield the power to be able to do each and every assignment given to me with Christ, who will not in any way fail me, give me up, or leave me without support. He will not, even for a millisecond, leave me helpless or forsake me or let me down or relax his hold on me. For he has endued me with strength, and as necessary, he'll increase my strength. So again, our attitude needs to be, bring it on. I'm ready. I'm ready. Don't, and this isn't anything new. I'm going to unhook with this. But he said to Noah, build an ark. Noah's about 500 years old. 500 years old. Build an ark. Why? It's going to rain. And there's going to be a flood. What's rain? Never seen an ark. Never heard of an ark. Never saw rain. Water from the sky? No, mist came up from the ground. You're going to open the windows of heaven? And water's going to come down? There's going to be a flood? What's a flood? He said, God, what are you talking about? Flood. Then God started talking about cubits. Okay. He did it. Took him almost 100 years. So now it's 600 years. And God, oh, by the way, collect all the animals by twos and bring them into the ark. He said, God, I don't know how to do this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Yeah, Bill Cosby makes fun of it. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that Noah complained about any of it. He just wanted to know how. And he did it. God told me, like, okay, that's fine. And he went to work building the ark. Well, God has told you to build an ark. It may be, you may call it, go to Columbia and be a missionary. Whatever it is. There's some books that he told you to write. There's some proposals he told you to submit to the pastors. There's some people he's told you to go and minister to. So we're talking, this is just the simple stuff that he said to you to do, and you're not doing it. He's told some of you to leave some jobs. He's told others to get a job. And you're not doing it. And you're coming up with bogus reasons as to why you can't do it. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you won't do it. And that's the only thing that will ever stop you from doing what God says. You decide you won't do it because of what you think about it. You may think, why do they always get the good assignments? All they've asked me to do is clean the restrooms. Hey, if you don't clean the restrooms, they'll never hear a word of what the minister has to say. Because nobody wants to go into a nasty restroom. And you can only sit down with your legs crossed tightly, but for so long, and then you're going to have to leave. Okay, I got to find a place where at least they clean the restrooms. And you don't realize how important it is. But I'm tired. Every Sunday, I have to stand here. Good morning. Praise the Lord. You know, you're setting the table. You're setting the table. Do you realize how valuable that position is? Because if you greet them and you greet them in the wrong manner, they're going to think that's the way this church is. And they're not going to hear anything that we say. They're going to be sitting there thinking, but that person sure was rude this morning. He called you into the ministries of health. That's your assignment. Start thinking of it as a valuable, extremely important kingdom assignment, because that's what it is. So as what God has been doing, at least with me lately, I need you to stand. And those of you, the reason I ask you to stand is just so that there's a oneness. But those of you that God has given repeatedly instructions and you've been resisting, you need to throw your hands up now and repent. I'm not asking you to come out here. He's not requiring that. He said, right where you are, just throw your hands up. Repent and commit, because you have no more excuses. None. And just so you'll understand how important God thinks this is. On Friday, Pastor Ed and I were on our way in, and he said to me, he said, "Oh, Pastor Greg, I mean to tell you, there's this video clip that I need you to watch. By this, about this young man, Richie Parker," and he started telling me he's got no arms. And he's telling me this, and I'm getting excited because, you know, as soon as I finish one lesson, I'm already thinking about the next one. And God had given me so much information and so many nuggets. It's like, I'm not quite sure, Lord, yet which way you want me to go. When as soon as Pastor Ed told me about Richie, the scripture came up, "I can do all things through Christ." He said, that's what we're highlighting on Sunday. I need my people to change what they think about that scripture. And so I told it to Pastor Ed. He started laughing. And he said, "God told me to show you this video clip and that you were going to get something specific out of it." It was a setup. Because God knows I'll say it. However he tells me to, I will say it. Not that Pastor Ed won't, but he uses us differently. And that's fine, because it's all God and it's all good. So just put your hands up. You know who you are. And with your mouth, I'm not going to lead you in this, because I'm not the one that gave you the assignment. You need to, right now, get it right with God about the assignment he gave you. And that's, and when we're not doing this, this isn't a mental conversation. You need to open your mouth and tell him with words. Open up, 'cause I'm not going anywhere until you get it this right. Just open your mouth and talk to God. We need all of you doing everything that God has instructed you to do. Because if one part is not working, it cripples the entire body. It's like trying to drive a car with three wheels. Yeah, we will eventually get there, but it'll take much longer, and the ride will be much rougher, and along the way we'll damage some things. Where if you just put the other wheel on, everything will go smoothly. You'll notice that things in your life will will start to go smoother because you've committed. No more excuses. I can do all things through Christ who gives me everything that I need to do it. And we'll know. Don't think, we'll know. I'm not going to ask you if you've done it. If you did it, we'll know. Because the temperature around here will change. See, when you are disobedient to God, something I believe, Pastor Jesse, we talked about months ago, when you know you're in disobedient to God, it's going to hinder your praise. It's going to hinder your prayer life. Because you don't feel like you can just go. You know, how many of you, you've done something and you go to your parents and they want to talk to you, but you're like, do they know? Are they trying to figure out? And you won't just open up and you don't have good fellowship because now you're afraid they're going to say something about what you know you did or didn't do. Well, it's the same way when we're disobedient to God when He's told us to do something. We don't know. It's like, oh no, I'm just going to wait because God, He's going to get on my case. I know what He said, but He doesn't understand. Yes, He does. He understands that He's made you His number one priority, and He won't leave you alone even for a nanosecond. That's why, even though I understand the songs and the intents of the songwriters, but if I call on His name and He comes running, that means He's not with me. He's like, oh, you need me? Let me run right over there. I know the intent of it, but He said He will never leave me. So you need to know the thing that is that He's told you to do, you're not doing it alone. You're not doing it by yourself. Didn't God say, I will be working with you, confirming the word. What word? Confirming everything He said to you with a sign following. Okay. How does He confirm the word, write a book? How is that confirmed? How is it confirmed when you lay hands on the sick that they recover? How's that confirmed? Is there any evidence? Well, it's no different with the book. He confirms it. How? You do the book. But you have to do something. How many people love giving testimonies? Nobody? I'm not going to ask anybody to give one now. Okay? I'll ask, how many of you love having a testimony about God's goodness? Well, guess what? In order to have a testimony means you had to do something. You had to believe something. You had to act on something. And all of you that were standing, they're all testimonies waiting to happen. But now that you've changed the way you think, they'll become a reality. Father, I thank You that each and every person that opened up an honest heart to You, that You will do and have done exactly what You said. You have never left them, so it's not a matter of You coming back to them. But they have now effectively renewed their mind to that scripture where they now understand there isn't anything that You require of us that we cannot do. And because of that, we are committing to do everything that You've required us to do. We're no longer going to measure. We're no longer going to look at whether it's easy or hard. All that matters is You told us to do it, and we put a period there and get to work. knowing that you will guide us each step of the way, providing everything that we need to do it exactly the way you said. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise as you be seated. Now, where do you start? Because there's always a starting place. And the starting place, the first thing you need to make sure, one has to make sure they've done, is receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the first thing you have to do. You say, well, I know him. Yeah, but have you asked him to come and live in your heart? I go to church, I take communion. Yeah, but have you asked him to come and live in your heart? Have you allowed him to become Lord of your life? Because if you haven't, everything that I spoke won't apply to you. Because, according to the Word, you're not one of his children. So he doesn't have to make you his number one priority. Because it's like you're rejecting him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father unless they come through me. No one. What does that mean? Very simple. This is my wife. Anybody trying to do her any harm has to try and get through me. Period. Doesn't matter how long you may have known her or known of her, you ain't getting to her because you ain't getting to me. Well, Jesus is the door. And he's not going to stay closed. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. He's standing there like this, telling you, please come to me so I can allow you to get to the Father.